Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
They thought they'd get away with it until now. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
I'm Tony Bruschi, and today we dive headfirst into a question that feels almost too unsettling to ask. What happens when justice, abuse, and revenge collide in one brutal act? The Menendez brothers' story isn't just about a high-profile family tragedy or a sensational trial from the 90s. No. This is a story about what happens behind closed doors, where privilege masks pain and a picture-perfect family portrait conceals unthinkable secrets. At the heart of all this lies a haunting dilemma. Were Lyle and Eric Menendez cold-blooded killers? Or were they victims who snapped under the unbearable weight of years of abuse? And if they were victims, what does that mean for the system that judged them and the society never saw it coming? Today, we confront these unsettling truths. We'll unpack the latest revelations, re-examine old motives through a modern lens, and ask the uncomfortable question, how much psychological damage can one endure before breaking? And what happens when that breaking point ends in murder? It's raw, unfiltered conversation because justice isn't always black and white. Sometimes it's a weird shade of gray that demands we take a second look. Joining me, my guest, retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer. But we obviously know people, predators, are very good at hiding this stuff, and I'm sure Jose was great at hiding it. But the reality is, back then, it didn't take that much to hide it as it would today, because people were almost like they just weren't questioning it. They didn't even look into it. If somebody was inviting all these, today, like, man's inviting all these boys over to his house to hang out, and then they're like showering together or going and doing these private things. It looks freaking weird. Of course today it'd be questioned. Back then it's like, oh, they're having some one-on-one time. They're bonding or whatever the hell people were. Yeah, fucking bonding, all right. But it wasn't part of the lexicon. It wasn't even thought of, I think, or considered. And that's how I think people like Jose were able to get away with these things for so many years, because it wasn't even registering as a possibility to many others. Then on top of that, you put the mom into the mix, who, according to the boys, had knowledge of all this. That's a major betrayal. Is it something, and I think they look back on it, I think they do regret, I think they've even said it, having to have murdered their mom, but I feel like they didn't really have much of a choice when they were in that situation. And I'm sorry, that's a horrible thing, to know that your significant other, the other parent to your children, is sexually abusing them, and you're just like, don't break up the family, it would be too hard to deal with that. No. If you have knowledge of this and you're just standing back, you are just as willing a participant as well if you're not willing to stand up for your kid. I don't care what year it is or how uncouth that may have been.
Tony, I mean, you bring up great points. You really do. And certainly, if this took place, I sympathize, empathize. Mm-hmm. I think it's horrible. But they were 18, yeah, and they were 21. Mm-hmm. One was away at Princeton, and the only reason he was back home was because he lied and cheated.
Yeah,
and they wanted to kick him out, but he ended up getting a suspension. But my point is, and everybody's also forgotten, these boys were burglarizing,
yeah,
houses all over the place. They had, their moral compass was a hot mess.
Yeah.
No, you know, so how many people who are sexually abused like that are running around houses and you know, stealing all of this, fencing it, and then using the money to live high on the hog? I don't know the answer to that.
I think if you statistically look, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if you statistically look at people who have been sexually abused repeatedly at a young age, especially by people that they trust, their parents, I think you're going to see a high rate of them going out into life, committing crimes, bad behavior, bad acts, You know, I think that that could be easily found as a correlation. Not everybody's going to go break into houses and such, but I'm sure you have a certain percentage. What's causing that behavior? These kids had everything. Why would they be acting out and trying to get caught in some sort of an act? What is the, what's the reasoning behind doing these sort of things? It's not like they needed it for any reason. They weren't desperate. They were very well off, but obviously it was, is a way that they were acting out. And I don't know. I mean, I can't say it's 100% because they're being sexually abused, but it sure shows a sign of really bizarre behavior from kids who otherwise really don't have a reason to be exhibiting bizarre behavior unless something else is going on, unless there is abuse that's going on behind the, you know, beautiful walls and the gate of their mansion that everybody thought everything was perfect at.
Well, a lot of kids who come from a lot of wealth like that do things like this because, especially in this case, we know, if nothing else, that Jose kept a tight hand over them, you know, would have fits and everything if they lost at tennis and felt like they were spoiled and you know, did all these things when he found out about the burglaries, you know, to make them repay their debt and basically seemingly enjoyed humiliating them. So I have no doubt that they wanted to get out from underneath the hand of of this guy and get to their money. That's what I think the motive was. I know it's very unpopular right now. The whole needle has shifted. And again, if it wouldn't have come up so late, and if they weren't such great actors in other realms and all their past criminal history didn't exist, maybe. But
yeah,
I just haven't seen the proof.
I feel like they're a big conglomerate of a bunch of horrible things that happened to them. And I think some of it was ended up mixing together. You know, was there some desire to get that money? Sure, I bet there certainly was. Was there a desire to get away from someone who'd been abusing you your entire life? Sure. Was there anger at mom for enabling it? Yes. You know, was the correct answer to the puzzle, let's go kill them? No, probably not. Not a great idea. But if you look at like battered spouse syndrome and what we understand today about abuse and psychology and how that can all just build up to such a breaking point, I think it makes a lot more sense that they did what they did. And maybe there was a bit of greed mixed into it, but I don't think greed was a mitigating factor. I think if it was just greed, none of this would have happened. You mix in the sexual abuse to it and the hate and the just that fire that would be brewing deep down to destroy the person that did that to you and maybe doing it to other people, I imagine is very, very great. And if there's a promise of some wealth on the other side after you get rid of the person who's destroyed you your entire life, yeah, I guess maybe it's a little like light at the end of the tunnel. But I do think the sexual abuse is what drove it more than anything. Yeah, the money in, it puts a kind of a little different spin on it. But again, all these years later, if the abuse took place, my opinion is that they've served their time.
But let me ask you this, Tony.
Yeah.
For all the people that, at least in my view, they're truly victims.
Yeah.
They endured horrible things by their parents, incest and molestation. For all those real victims, if Lyle and Eric are not real victims, I just think it is such, and that's how I see it. I see it as such a slap in the face to the people who were truly victimized. And guess what? They didn't commit these well-thought-out, planned murders of their family members and then, you know, lie about it. And the other piece of that is if this was truly motivated by them being sexually molested when they were young, how come no one knew about it, Tony? No one.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you there because the cousin has said that they kind of suspected it. The female cousin said it was brought up at one point in time, but never really, you know, examined much further. Again, people didn't talk about this. So it's not shocking to me that no one knew about it. I think a lot of people did know that Jose was doing this, that didn't even know that the brothers were having this happen to them. I mean, including the Menudo guy. I mean, there's a lot of logical reasons why this wasn't talked about for so many years. You know, if we're going to have that argument on why did these men not talk about it, then the same question can be asked of all females too. Why didn't you report it earlier? Why is it taking all these years later to come back? Because of the trauma, because that's how our brains work is really the answer. Logically, does it make any sense in terms of fighting crime, in terms of getting these people and catching them? Does it make any sense? No, not at all. But it's self-preservation, I think, that keeps people from holding back. Is that the case here with the Menendez brothers? Probably not to the full extent that we see in other cases. But I do think that is certainly part of the equation here, and that we're talking about three different decades where this all would have taken place in different steps and different stages and coming to terms with it and coming out with it. You got to look into the perspective of those different eras. And I know you do. So I agree. If they are in fact guilty, I mean, we know they did it, but if they were not abused, yes. What a slap in the face. I do believe they were though. And that being said, that's where I believe that justice is now being served, or that the chance for them to have some freedom after what they endured, I think, is called for.
And so what does that mean, Tony, as a precedent we're setting? So now individuals who are accused of murdering their parent or the person that purportedly sexually abused them, do they come out now? And does everybody just go to the floodgates and say, listen, I was abused and that's why I committed that murder. That's why I set him on fire. That's why I slit their throat. That's why I killed him with 15 rounds. That's why I reloaded. You know, at what point does it end?
This is so
precedent setting.
I think those cases need to be looked at. I think any case that was involving a murder of someone back in those days, and the reason was abuse, I think those should be relooked at. We're in a very different place and very different understanding of how all of those things work psychologically. So yeah, I think they deserve some review. Are all of them worthy of being released? No, not at all. And some of them were just, you know, premeditated cold-blooded murder, but I think you probably got a handful of people, probably more than a handful of people, who went out, stood up for themselves. Unfortunately, it ended in the murder of their perpetrator, but in their mind at that point in time, it looked very much justified. I think if this happened today, I think we'd have a very different trial. And I've said too, if it was Erica and Layla, I don't think we'd be even having this conversation. It's a different mindset when it was men and boys. It still is today to a certain extent. We're getting further. But yeah, I think the answer is yes. We need to relook at some of those cases from a different place in time where we weren't looking at things from a more compassionate standpoint to those who've been abused. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.